Hey, what's good, everyone? This is Rich, and I'm here with Wim, and you're listening to the Paychecks and Balances podcast, where we talk all things work and money for the rising professional. So you can tweet along to today's episode using hashtag PayBal15, or as I like to say, pound PayBal15, PAYBAL, the number 15. We'll be on the lookout for your mentions, and you never know, you may end up quoted or featured on a future episode.
As a reminder, if you've been enjoying the show, don't forget to drop by on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. That'll help us in the rankings, help us reach more people. Reach more people, we can help more people. You know how it goes, folks.
Pretty much. And even if you don't listen on iTunes, we encourage you to go in there anyway. Super simple. Go in there, give us the 5 stars, say a few words about the show, hit the subscribe button, and then you can be out. You can go back to whatever platform it is that you normally listen from. But anyway, what's going on, good sir?
It's actually a good little weekend. For those who follow on the other account at TGOS Podcast, y'all know I was out in the Dallas area seeing some friends and family, and actually just friends this time around. I don't think I saw any family, but friends are family. And I had a little miniature tweet up, I guess you could call it, some of the good people. So good people, good times from Twitter. I don't know if it was by strategy or coincidence, but no one added each other. We kept it out of the DMs or in the DMs. And so I'm not going to put everybody's business out there, but it was good meeting up with everybody. Had a great time.
Yeah, I was going to say, so is that the first time you've went to a Twitter-ish meetup?
No, actually, I've met plenty of people off Twitter. I just don't do like the official tweet ups. I kind of just meet people the normal way.
Oh, well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
I'm not really big on the whole events anyway, and I try to keep out of, which is, I guess, counterintuitive, the social media, social commentary. So I don't like to go to big events and then everybody tweet about the big event and then everybody gossip about the big event. That's not really my style.
Whatever works for you, good sir.
No judgment.
Anyway, getting into the show for this week. So From the Trenches, a segment where we kind of just talk about what's happening in life, lessons learned that are related to things as it relates to paychecks and balances. That was redundant, but you all know what I mean. So one thing that I was looking forward to and just happened was going to Podcast Movement. So I went last year. This is my second year going. And Podcast Movement, if you're unfamiliar, it's basically a conference for podcasters, people at any spot along the journey. There are people who don't have shows yet. There are people who just started shows, people who are established, people who have been doing this for a while and they're leading sessions and all of that stuff. And for me, you know, I'll say last year I was there and I kind of felt like a freshman or a sophomore last year. This year I felt more like a junior. I'm not going to say I felt like a senior yet because I wasn't up there on the stage and I wasn't like that dude. It was kind of like the next level below that. So I was like, all right, you know, I know my way around what's going on. I can, you know, be here and kind of have some more strategic and focused goals because last year I took it all in and I had a few themes that, that kind of came to mind as I was at the conference that I thought would be good to, share here on the show. So, one of the bigger themes around the whole thing was around storytelling. So, we've talked about stories in a professional context on the show. So you go into an interview and you have story examples that are ready to go to answer any type of question or even when you're public speaking to have a story to tell people to get their interest or drive a point home. But from going to the conference, I realized that stories can go so much further than that. And so you may see a thing or two applied to the show to help drive some points home, maybe add some additional humor here and there. But that was definitely a big theme that I wasn't expecting, but it has me thinking about the power of storytelling in a new way.
You know, this is coincidence, but we actually had and I've been fortunate, I guess, I've been speaking or hearing a lot of public speakers recently, and this is, I guess, more on the side of a motivational speaker. But she said to connect with people when you tell the story, and I actually had a takeaway from this, if you tell a story logically or from your head, you'll connect with the head. They'll remember it in that way. If you tell it from the heart, then they'll remember it emotionally. They'll connect with you emotionally. And if you tell it through experience, like a storytelling example, then that's what they'll remember. And that's why they said, I kind of tied that, I don't think she did, to comedians. Like comedians are pretty much the great ones are great storytellers. And then you go back and you retell the experience because that's what you connect with. I thought that was a really interesting breakdown because I think one of, I won't say flaws, but something I think I definitely need to work on in one of my takeaways from this training, and I'll probably start conveying through this show, is I think a lot of times, especially in work, and maybe you can relate to this, I think a lot of people can, I'm good at speaking in public, but I'm so busy going through the logical side in my head that I don't think I'm connecting like from the heart, because I'm not speaking from the heart. I'm speaking from the mind. So I start thinking all these things that can go right and all these things can go wrong, instead of, well, I'm just telling my story. So there is no right or wrong. I'm just telling you what I went through, and you can buy in or buy out. So I'm going to, that's something that I want to try to improve on. And it's also, and I think you've kind of seen this, and I think the listeners have seen it as well, as far as the career goes, I'm like in that weird place where I'm like, I don't know if I can do that, because I'm not sure I'm connecting with my heart through this career. I'm good at it, but I'm not sure, you know, aligning with passions and what I want to do in my life. And I'm like in that, and I think a lot of people can relate, in that weird, not even mid-career. And I can't believe I'm not in the middle of my career yet. But anyway, I'm far enough along where I need to start making a decision about, hey, is this what I want to do for the rest of my life?
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting you say that, because when I came back and I had storytelling on the mind, I'm at work. And so I work in recruiting, and I'm like, you know, thinking of all of these different stories and when they might be relevant to tell. And as I'm going through like recruiting stories, I'm like, yeah, there are some that are funny. But when I think about stories that relate to things that have happened outside of work and things where I may have had much more of an emotional attachment or reaction to, I could actually feel the maybe the enthusiasm isn't the right word, but I could feel like a different level of energy when I started talking through that story. And it was much easier for me to tell. Yes, I was kind of like sitting there and walking and telling stories to myself. You know, sometimes you just got to do that, you know, so you can get the story out there. Because, you know, sometimes you may have a story in mind and that's the only place where it is. And then you say it out loud and you're like, yeah, that wasn't as good of a story as I thought it was. Or you start talking it out, or you're thinking about it more in depth, and you're like, oh, there's something else that relates to this that I could also talk about. Or here's something that this story could be a good example of if I draw this parallel the right way.
Yeah, I think one example, and I'll make a note of this somewhere that I'm going to cover on the show, is budgeting sucks. I actually almost bought this domain, but I think I need to readily convey that to the people. And I think I have several stories that could, that might even like be a segment eventually, because I got several stories that fall under the budgeting sex category. Unfortunately, the website was already taken out. I feel like paying for it.
Yeah, I think I have a few stories that fall in that bucket too. But let me run through some of these other things that came to mind while I was at the conference. And so the first one, and I just have these in bullet point form. You never know who's watching, so stay great. So I listened to Brittany Luce, who hosts the Sampler podcast, which is in the Gimlet Media family of shows. So if you're like, what the hell is Gimlet? If you've heard of a podcast called Startup, if you've heard of Reply All, those are a couple of the most popular shows out of that network. The person who founded that used to produce a Planet Money, which is in the NPR family. And these shows under Gimlet have a similar style where it's more of the storytelling and journalism angle. And of course, they intersperse their personalities and all of that stuff in there as well. And Brittany, she originally had a podcast called For Colored Nerds, which I had heard about prior. And I knew that she got picked up into the Gimlet family. And so to me, you know, someone who's looking at what's next in the podcast game, I'm like, oh, she made it, like, dope. You know, I can imagine how much went into that. And when she was telling the story, she was on a panel and she was telling the story of how quickly the show got discovered and how quickly that resulted in the opportunity for her to be a part of this I Made It network. I was just like, yo, you never know who's watching. And it was really a reminder to me, even with what we do here. And I think we probably said this before and on a previous listserv with another project we were involved with. It's like, yo, you never know when that person who's in a position of influence is going to be checking out your stuff. So stay consistent and stay great in what you're doing. And whenever you are putting something out there that can be consumed publicly, and this could even be at work, you know, there are times where you may be tempted to half-ass it with something that could potentially be visible at levels above that you didn't expect. And if that person stumbles upon your work, is that going to be the best that you've done? Because, you know, someone could be listening to you, someone could be reading something, and you lose them in that moment, and you've potentially lost out on an opportunity that you didn't even know existed. Now, on the other hand, I realize some people may hear this and be like, oh my God, I got to be worried at all times. Like, oh, someone could always be watching. And I don't want people like flipping out and being, you know, so caught up in who might be watching. But yo, just make sure that for, especially for those things that you care about and you, where you really do want to make progress and go to the next step, whatever that means for you, just make sure that you're always putting your best stuff out there. And if you don't feel that you're doing that, a lot of times it's okay to take a little bit of extra time, work on it, and make sure that you can put something out there that you know you're going to be happy with.
You know, I wrote down a quote here that I'm going to share. I'm not even sure if it fits here, but I'm going to force it in.
Go for it.
But it was, and I messed it up, so let me try to fix it while I'm reading it here. Make sure the toes you step on today aren't attached to the ass you have to kiss tomorrow. And I think that had to relate to, you said, you know, half sad. And then, so I don't know. That's why it came to mind. I hope that'll be applicable to somebody. Maybe you could put that on a bumper sticker or a tweet. Feel free to steal that, but please hashtag it.
Well, I'm glad you said that. It's tangentially related, but I think about even the way that you treat people that you interact with, and you know, do you have your best attitude? Are you being the best team member you can be? Because you never know where that person that you're working with or interacting with is going to land next. And maybe that person won't be your boss, but maybe if you're applying for a gig somewhere, that person is the internal reference who they consult to say, what was that experience working with you? Or if you're doing your own thing and someone's like, hey, this person has a service that I'm interested in, how are they? That could be the difference between you getting that opportunity, you getting that business, or not getting that.
Unfortunately, I can't go into all the details, but a few people who potentially listen to the show do know the details. And I'll just share that I know an exact example of that where a person, I'll make it vague, a person who used to be the boss of another person, they both moved to another company but switched roles.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so the other person became the boss.
Yeah.
On that some person, upside down.
That person moved first and then they were given a basically a managerial or executive position, and then the other person was given a manager position. It was interesting to say the least.
Yeah, I'm going to have some questions about that after the show.
Yeah, we should talk about that. It's funny, and I wish I could actually go into more details of people who know the details. They know why I'm not going into them. I'm not trying to get sued. But, you know, yeah, it's a small world out there, folks. Be careful. Watch those toes.
It is. And so the next thing I had here is the importance of consistency and follow-up. So, you know, I was talking to people who I think are further along in their creative journeys, podcasting, whatever else. And so I go to conferences like this. And the main reason I go to these things nowadays is to connect with people. Like the sessions are cool, learning how to set up a show, how to monetize stuff like that. I feel like I have a good grasp on that. And there are other things that I'm focused on right now. So when I go to these things, I'm like, you know, I want to meet people because I'm not going to have many chances to be in a room with this many people who are doing similar things and who are on a great journey. And what was interesting was I was talking to a few people just about like, yo, like, how did you get that to pop off? How did you get that feature? How did you make this happen? And they were just like, yo, the biggest thing I did was just keep following up with so-and-so or keep reaching out to so-and-so. And I'm like, that's it? Like, you didn't do some magical thing. You didn't, like, you know, write some song or make some call and get them on the phone. And it's like, no, I found out who to reach out to and I kept following up with them. Or the person got back to me, said we should chat, and then they didn't follow up with me, so I followed up with them instead. And I'm just like, huh, that is it. That's all you did. But then I think Diddy said, and I don't have this exact quote, but I've heard multiple people reference that Diddy talking about follow-up being like the most important thing you can do in business.
Yeah, that is so simple. It's one of those simple but ingenious things. Because I'm literally sitting over here. I'm like, rather than stopping, keep going. Genius. Like, <I'm laughs> so yeah. It's one of those things that clicks, but like should have clicked a long time ago.
Yo, I'm sitting there and I'm like, that's it. And I think about the times where, you know, sometimes you meet someone and you're like, oh man, I'm glad I met that person. They're like, yeah, we should keep in touch. Then you send them like a follow-up message and then they don't reply. And it's just like, well, screw them. Like they didn't, you know, they must not want to collaborate or a lot of times what people do. And I guess I'm speaking from my own experiences. You might reach out to someone, you meet them, you might reach out to, and I guess this probably happens a lot in dating. You reach out to someone, they don't get back to you. And you're kind of just like, all right. And you start concocting this story in your head for like why the person's not responding. Like, oh, they saw my email and they ain't even want to get back to me. Why they even give me their card in the first place if they weren't going to reply? And really, we've all had situations where we get messages and we're like, ah, man, I need to get back to this person. I'll get back to them in a day. And then a whole bunch of other stuff comes up. And next thing you know, that person is like 50 items down the list. And it's not a slight to them. It's just other stuff comes up. You know what I'm saying?
It's insane to me how much time can pass between messages. There was somebody joking on Twitter. One of those like comedians that like recommended or recognized all the time on Huffington Post. But she was like, adulthood is just an exchange of emails apologizing for a late reply to an email.
Oh, yeah.
And it really hits me sometimes. Like, I'll send somebody an email and I try not to like have things waiting on me. So I don't mind waiting as much, but I try to like clear my queue. And then I'll go back and I'll be like, oh man, I forgot about this. And it'll be like January 2015. And I'm like, golly, I thought I just talked to this person yesterday. It's so. Then I feel bad replying to the chain because I know that person's going to see, like, didn't I email you 2 years ago? Like, now you're just.
That's why I start a fresh one.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Oh, have you ever emailed and you try to start the fresh one and then they respond back with the email chain, like as a passive aggressive, like, I know how long it's been?
Yes, I have had that happen. And I just ignore that chain like it's not even there. I just keep going with the fresh one. I'm like, nope. Nope, you're not going to catch me out there. I mean, even though they've already caught me out there, I'm just like, nope, I'm going to ignore that like I don't see it. I'm going to press that the button that makes it truncate so it disappears. I'm just going to keep going with whatever it is that I'm asking about.
I try not to do that unless, like, they call me out. They're like, well, I've been waiting since Wednesday. And then I'll, like, send the original email. Sometimes I'll attach it. I'll be like, well, as you can see, when I responded immediately to your response and you didn't respond to me, that's why we haven't talked further. But, yeah. Sometimes you gotta get caught up in petty wars, pettyville. You know, I understand. It happens.
Yeah, but I also have done it the other way around where there's somebody that I've fallen out of touch with and I'm like, crap, you know, I may see that person in my timeline. I might see that they wrote a story somewhere and I'm like, oh man, I haven't talked to that person in 2 years. I met them like once. And so sometimes I'll use that email just so they remember who I am. And so in that context, it works. But then there's also the other awkward side of it where someone's trying to be like, yeah, I've been waiting for like 3.5 years and you're just now getting back to me. I hate your guts.
Yeah, I respect that, too.
Yeah. So the other thing that came to mind was just this idea of moving with purpose. And I kind of alluded to this already. I went to the conference with some specific things in mind, people I wanted to connect with, relationships I wanted to start to build, and really putting a face with the Twitter face. I mean, I guess my Twitter avatar is really me, but it's different when you meet someone in person and you put an actual voice with it, of course, assuming everyone's not listening to the podcast. And, you know, I think this is something that I've struggled with in the past because you think, and this is why some people hate networking is because, you know, they this idea of, oh, you're going there to connect with people and you're building relationships because you're looking for something and it's just really fake. And, you know, I'm like, yo, if I'm going to spend $1,000, whatever amount of money it is, damn right, I'm going to go to something and get value from it the way I want to get value from it. If I'm spending money to go attend something, of course, I'm going to connect with people if that's what I'm interested in doing. That's part of what you're paying for is to have this opportunity to be in a room with all of these people that you wouldn't normally have access to. And so.
Yeah I agree. Yeah. And I'll quickly throw in here because this came up. I don't know if it was paychecks and balances, but someone asked for like tips to do in a new city. And I actually read about this somewhere and they recommended. I mean, you probably need to be a little bit either comfortable or further on the extrovert side, but conferences and trade shows.
Yeah.
They said they happen all the time. And then you just go online, you find one in your area, one that's of interest, and you've already found a group of people that like what you like.
Yeah.
And he it was a guy, he said his favorites to go to were trade shows for fast food restaurants. He said it's insane how passionate people are about like their fast food chains. And like, so he said those are some of his favorites. But that is something I would have never thought of. And so it's something I share here. But I do agree with you that I feel like conferences are a little bit different, that when you pay for something, you should determine the value of what you should get out of that. Now, I'm not saying you go around stalking everyone and saying, hey, you owe me. But I do. Yeah. If you put money down for an event, I think whatever you have mentally in your head for what that event should return in that monetary value for you, you should go out and seek and gain.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I had no hesitations about it this year. And now I wasn't just having like fake conversations where someone's talking and I'm just waiting to hand them my card, or because that happens a lot too, where someone's just like not even listening while the person's talking to them. And you can always tell when someone's not really paying attention and their eyes are going up and they see someone else across the room who they really want to connect with. And it's like, yo, you just started talking to me and you're already trying to run the so-and-so. I'm not really trying to mess with you after that. You know, I've had that happen as well. And obviously you can tell that I feel some type of way about it.
Yes.
But you know, I go to something like this and I'm like, yo, there are things I want to accomplish. There are people that I want to meet. At least say, hey, I'm here. You know, I exist. Start having a conversation. And I really don't expect anything to come from any of these relationships that I started building. And I think that's another mistake people make, is they're like, you know, I went to this thing, I met these people, I emailed someone once and like nothing came from it. Going to the conference was a waste of money. Sometimes you're not going to see anything in return. Other times you may not, if you do see something, you may not see it for 1, 2, 3, 4 years. And so while I went there and I was like, you know what, I'm going to connect with a lot of people. I really want to get my name out. I also want to meet some people and hear about what they're working on. You know, I came back and just thinking to myself, well, one, I got to follow up now after having those conversations. But then the other thing is like, yo, I can't expect anything from any of these people, but what I can do is keep in touch and see where some of these connections go and see where some of these relationships go. You know, I think it'll be more likely that I'll be offering help and helping people in some capacity versus me making an ask, you know, download my mixtape and all of that other stuff that comes along with it. And it's something that even people who were there who are a lot further along on the journey, they just have such a sense of purpose in how they go about everything they're doing when they talk about their goals, when they talk about moves they're making, how they went from point A to, well, sometimes when you're at point A and point B, you don't have it figured out yet. But let's say they're going from like X to Y. There's always a reason behind that. And you're like, yo, you've really thought this through.
Yeah. Another interesting point, I think, as it relates to this, is another motivational speaker I was listening to on a different occasion, but he came in to speak about being an entrepreneur. And he also spoke, well, he said that he only believes, you know, this is his opinion, he has no data behind it, that only about 10% of people are natural entrepreneurs. Like they throughout life will never work for anyone else. That'll just never work for them. And then another, you know, 50% learn it over time, and then another, what is that math left, 40% will just never be entrepreneurs, you know, be comfortable, and there's nothing wrong with that. But he said, in his opinion, a true entrepreneur, and I think this is something I have done very poorly at over the years, fails fast and fails again and just gets it over with. Like most people spend so much time preparing not to fail, taking all these safeguards, implementing all these plans, doing all these, like you said, A to Z to not fail, and then they get out there and fail anyway. And he's like, if you had just started at A, even if you didn't know B, and failed at A, and it refined your plan to get to B, you would be better off than you put this whole plan together, you're wasting all this time and year, or I don't say wasting because I know people are going through this, and present company included. Like, I feel like I'm one of those people that has to feel comfortable with having all the pieces together first.
Yeah.
And then I can go on. But if I can't see, like, I guess, you know, using that metaphor, all the pieces of the puzzle and have the puzzle together, I won't even start the puzzle. And I think successful people, especially folks that who do it fast and do it quick, they're just like, hey, you know what? I know I want to put a puzzle together and it'll come when it comes. It'll figure it out along the way.
Yeah. Exactly. And I've definitely made that mistake. I've done it with so many new projects. I'm mapping out all of these things and trying to figure everything out. And I have such an elaborate, I spend, you know, months planning and I haven't taken any actions at all.
Right.
You know? So yeah, those were a few of the things that, that came to mind while at the conference. If I have other thoughts, we'll definitely, come back to them, on the podcast. I hear my garage door opening downstairs and it's making it very difficult for me to talk. So I'm just going to take a little bit pause right here. All right, cool. And so, yeah, there's another segment that we used to do back on TGOS. It was called Rich Recommend. If you're like me, you probably hate grocery shopping. And if you're like me, you probably hate figuring out dinner every night. And that's where HelloFresh comes into play. So HelloFresh is the meal kit delivery service that makes cooking fun, easy, and convenient. Each week, HelloFresh creates new recipes with step-by-step instructions designed to take around 30 minutes for everyone from novice chefs like myself to seasoned home cooks.
And one of the best things about this is if you're cooking just for yourself, each meal could last you 2 days. I discovered that when I was making this sizzling beef stir fry last week. I promise you, it really was sizzling. And if you're wondering how the food gets delivered, it arrives at your doorstep in a special insulated box for free, 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 free. So for $35 off your first week of deliveries, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks. Again, visit HelloFresh.com and enter paychecks when you subscribe. Check it out.
And I would do it sometime, and I think it's going to be more of the same thing here where I may not have something to recommend every week, but I think I talked about this cryptically on a previous episode, and after having played around with this app, I guess you can call it an app, I definitely want to talk to folks about it and encourage people to go check it out. So I came across this cool service called Digit, and it's basically a text message based service that's helped me save, I think, about $500 now in less than 2 months. Which to me, I'm like, how does this work? I didn't think I had this much available to save. And somehow this money is going into an account and I'm still able to live and pay my bills and do everything else. Ooh. So basically, you sign up via the Digit website. And I'll give you the link to this in a second. And like most other financial apps, you have to attach a bank account. So that's the case with Mint. That's the case with my wallet. A lot of the other ones out there, even Credit Karma, or no, I don't know. Credit Karma, I don't think you attach your bank account, but oh no, you do. And there's a lot of these different services where you have that option so that, you know, you can see all of your information on the dashboard and your habits can be analyzed, et cetera, et cetera. And so for this service, you also provide a phone number since everything happens via text. And so once you connect your bank account to this service, it runs an algorithm in the background to analyze your spending habits, and it starts saving for you based on what it finds. So it's a few dollars here, a few dollars there. I noticed when I get paid, it'll take out a little bit more because it's like, oh, you have a greater lump sum of money. And then there are other days where maybe it takes out like five or $6 and transfers it to this FDIC insured account. So if you're like, FDIC, what's that? Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation. It's basically the way like all banks' money, all those other accounts are that you have with other institutions, they're all FDIC insured. And so this account, it doesn't earn interest, but with, you know, if I'm saving money in a way that I wasn't able to save before and I don't have to look at it or think about it that much, to me, that's a win, even if I'm not getting that 0.01% or whatever it is these days anyway. And then the other thing with this, there's a list of commands that you can send via text and even something like more or less to change how aggressively the service is saving for you. And the other thing that I thought was pretty cool about this is they have like an overdraft protection, and then they also have this guarantee that they're not going to cause you to overdraw your account and go into extreme poverty. And on top of that, you can get notifications at a regular frequency. You know, I get them daily about changes to your balance. So it's like yesterday your balance was this, today it's this. Press this to understand more about why it's changed. And also when you log into the portal and you log into the app, you can see a history of those transactions and what's been happening on that front as well. Now, the one thing I wish you could do is attach multiple accounts. And when I did this via the web, it only allowed me to attach one account. And so I have a savings account I have a checking account that I have it attached to, because that's where a good chunk of the money's going into. And it's a pretty dope service. You know, I've been using it for less than 2 months, or probably getting close to 2 months now. And I've just been really impressed with how much has accumulated in this account without it negatively impacting any of my other finances or anything else that I have going on. So to check this out, you can use the URL paychecksandbalances.com/digit. They didn't pay me to say this. They probably don't even know I'm using the service. But if you go through that link and sign up, we do benefit from that. And if you're like, nah, yo, I don't trust that Paychex link, that might take me to some shady place and you're going to take all my information and I don't want that, you can just go to digit.co. So any questions, thoughts, anything? Good, sir.
I guess mine stopped doing it back in the day. And I guess I'm old enough to say that now. As I was saying it, I realized how old it sounded. Chase used to allow you to roll over. You remember when that was a big thing where you could roll over the pennies up to the dollar?
Oh, yeah.
But I never did that. I'm wondering if any folks did you do that, I guess, would be my first question.
Nah, I didn't.
I was just going to ask. I wonder how successful that was, because they stopped doing it. So I guess a number of people, I guess it wasn't successful enough for them to keep it in business. But that doesn't mean that folks didn't like it.
Yeah, I know Wells Fargo has it, because when I was signing up for an account recently, that was like an option where it's like, oh, for every transaction, we'll roll to the next dollar and like put that in a savings account. And I was like, I'm good for now.
It sounds like a lot of money and responsibility.
I'm like, you know, I got enough things going on, access and moving things around. Digit is working pretty good for me right now. So I'm just going to go with that and I'll spare this whole thing, since I set up this account specifically to pay like two bills. So it's not even like I'm going to have a bunch of transactions happening on that account. So it wasn't worth it for me anyway.
I will say this. I read in an article, and I think Chase, actually all banks don't participate in this, but I think Chase is one of them. You can, and I didn't know this, you can ask your bank. So most banks automatically enroll you in, not overdraft, but I guess it is overdraft, where if you go over your checking account with your debit card, which millions of people do, that's actually how they make a ridiculous amount of money now, they'll, you know, draft it for you and do that little $34 fee. You can turn that off. You can ask them if my account is drafted to decline it. Like, they'll automatically, most times, I think like up to 10 transactions, depending on the bank, they'll put it through. I did not freaking know that. I wish I had known that. It's not really much of an issue these days, but I remember back in the day, like, I think, you know, I'm assuming I got money in there because my card's still working. Yeah. And then I come and I got $90 in overdraft fees. I'm like, really good. Y'all couldn't, you know, and it's usually like the day before, like a paycheck's about to hit. And that weird pending scenario. Don't ask me why all the credits always go through, but the check is always pending, which shows up at the exact same time. You know what? Obviously, I feel some type of way about this.
Yeah, man, I was trying to figure out how to best support you in this, and I'm like, I don't really know what to tell them.
But if you want to, folks, you can request that your bank turn that off. I didn't even know that was an option. So just a little life hack, hashtag life hack for you.
There you go. So yeah, that is it for Rich Recommends. Check out Digit. A lot of people know about it already, so they're probably like, this isn't anything new. But then there are also a lot of people who hadn't heard about it before. I mean, hey, I just discovered it in the past a couple of months here and loving the experience so far. So again, paychecksandbalances.com/digit. Now, we talked a little bit earlier, or I think I referenced earlier, like planning and goals, which ties into a topic that we've been meaning to talk about for a couple of weeks now.
Yeah, I think I'm going to hit this. I think I'm going to hit it pretty quick. The pause? 5-year plan?
You're good.
I asked the folks over on TGOS, actually, do you have a 5-year plan? So this was a poll I did over there, and it actually got some good traction, so I brought it over here to the Paychecks and Balances family. Future show topic, is it still reasonable to expect millennials to have a 5-year plan? The choices were yes, no, and I asked, actually, do you have a 5-year plan? With yes, no, or I barely got a 5-day plan. 50% of people barely got a 5-day plan, and another 23% of people don't have a 5-year plan. So 73% of people do not have a 5-year plan, at least as far as this poll and followers goes, not statistically, you know, whatever fast voice reference here, disclaimer. But I don't know that it's relevant anymore. We don't ask it anymore. Yeah, I can't remember the last time an employer asked me. I know that used to be like a very popular employer question. Like, what's your 5-year plan? Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
You know what?
Go ahead.
If an employer asked me if they asked me, where do you see yourself in 5 years? I might have to be like, not here.
Like, free mom. Yeah. You know, it's, I share again, you know, some people have heard this 1,000 times and they'll probably get going tired of it by now. But my hack on that one is like the 20-30 year plan, which I guess I'm gonna have to modify because now I'm in my 30s, but it went over well every time it came up. But it's something my dad told me in a different manner. But as far as that 5-year plan goes, I'd say I learned that in your 20s you learn, your 30s you apply, and in your 40s you teach and mentor. So I just apply that to 5 years. I say I hope to be here for the first 2 years learning about, first year if you want to be ambitious, learning about the company. I spend the next 2 to 3 years applying what I've learned, and then I could see myself as a leader or developing in this role. And I'd like to teach others and mentor and grow and use what I've learned to grow those around me and benefit the professional peers and colleagues that are within my sphere of influence. There's some general...
Somebody who wants to be here more than 2 to 3 years?
General PCBS like that.
go PCBS, ahead. PCBS, I like that.
There you go. Go ahead and tailor that to your company. Feel free to steal that. If you use that on the timeline, I just ask that you hashtag it, PayBow615.
PayBow15.
There we go. Thank you. And I was looking at, I don't really have a five-year plan. It's kind of similar to New Year's resolutions, which I don't really do. And those who've been following me for a while know I don't really share goals. I prefer to share accomplishments. I do share goals, but I like to share them with a smaller network than I do just everyone. I don't like to just put it out there. I like to show what I've done because, you know, sometimes they change. And sometimes if I share a goal, I try to do it with purpose where people act in a positive peer pressure to influence me to keep going. So that's why I shared like the book. Like I want people to harass me about that. Like, yo, where's the book? Where's the book? Where's the detox album? It's coming. It is in the final stages. I promise y'all, I literally have one thing left to do. I did get caught up in the procrastination by analysis and it derailed like 6 months. And I got a bunch of excuses, folks, but it will be coming and I'm not lying about it's coming. It's literally one last thing I have.
So you were never lying about it. The timeline may have changed drastically, but I have seen the draft. It does exist. Like detox. I'm not sure. So for detox, was there ever an actual track list for that?
That's an excellent question.
I don't know. You have a track list. You have songs that can be played, chapters that can be read. So you know, it's been there, man. Give yourself some credit at least for getting that far.
It's messed up because I wrote it, like finished it. Like I wrote all the way to like the last chapter and then I just sat it down one day and I didn't pick it up for like 2 years. And I think anyone who's written or writes knows that experience. It's crazy how quickly it got away from me. But I guess I'll go ahead and share my trifecta. And this kind of ties to the fail and fail fast about earlier, because one of them didn't work out. And it was ambitious when I moved for the new job in the latter part of last year, early part of this year, 2015. I came up with three things that I wanted to accomplish. That was one of them was publish the book. The other was get into graduate school. And the third was get into this executive leadership program that my company was offering. I can now share that I got into the executive leadership. It's actually called an academy. So I'm going through that right now. It's a 9-month program. And that's why you'll hear me sharing all these like existential quotes. And I am hearing from all these motivational speakers. It's a pretty cool thing that I'm going through. I have my first 360. There's like a, you talk about your personality type and your professional type and your work profile and your Myers-Briggs and your DISC and we've all the colors, like basically any type of personality profile you do, I'm going through one of those. Very interesting program, very humble, very appreciative to be in. Still got another 7 months to go and actually I'll meet again on Monday.
Dope.
And they're going to partner me with a mentor in the new organization, actually. So I'm interested to see who this person is because it's like this anonymous announcement.
It's like a silhouette, some shadowy figure you'll only talk to them and it'll be through one of those voice machines, like all distorted.
It's exactly like that. So the book, as y'all know, that's on me. So I need the last thing I need to get done is basically, what would you call it? Editing the cover. I need the cover.
I don't know what the official term for that is, but you need the cover done.
Yeah, I need the cover done. I need the book formatted, and then it is ready for release. And then graduate school, the original program I wanted to get into, said nah.
Oh. Well, at least you were, honest on the cast, man, doing it for the cast.
Well, I feel that, I mean, it was ambitious. Like, you know, I set out to do three things, and it was humbling, but I think in a good way. I had actually a pretty good conversation with the advisor. They were very responsive. I won't say the program that it was, but they were very responsive. They actually gave me a very robust and thorough reason and gave me some tips and advice for getting into another graduate school program, which I'm actively applying for right now. I was devastated for a little bit. You know, you got to kind of wallow in. Then that's why I wanted to share. Like, I think it's okay to be disappointed and be sad and be miserable and, you know, question your entire existence. And, you know, I'm actually not smart enough to do anything other than what I'm doing right now. You know, I went through that whole phase and I think that's okay, but I think that needs to be time limited. So, you know, I brushed off my wounds, you know, and it's really just ego, put my ego aside. And now I'm applying to another graduate school program. And I think the point is not to give up. That's kind of why I was laughing earlier. Like I could have just said, oh, well, forget it then, you know, and say, I'll just stick with my career and do this for another 20, 30 years. But after I got over the whole being down, I'm like, I'm going to take this as a challenge to get into a program. I just need to figure out what program. And they gave me like a list of 27 to choose from. So I will keep y'all posted on how that works out. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the older shows, I'm looking to get into a data analytics program, which is funny because as part of this leadership academy, you had to talk about yourself, which was crazy difficult. Like, so I'm in this room with CEOs and CFOs and managers and directors.
What I got in common with them?
Yeah, I'm not the youngest, but I'm like one of the newest there. And it's like, and one of the things that they said is you were, they advocated for you to be here. So your company sees you, the whole plan is like a succession plan for training leaders in the program so that when you're ready or you have the years of experience, you can transition and move up in the organization. So you basically, they got that idea out of, like they wanted everyone to get that out of their head. Like you were chosen to be here because you're supposed to be here. So that was good. And I think that was good to, and maybe that's why it's good to have multiple goals, because had I not gotten into both, I might have been a little bit more devastated. But I literally found out I got into the executive leadership program 1 week before I found out I didn't get into graduate school. So maybe I wouldn't be telling this story if I didn't get into either. I might be in a different type of mood. The graduate program is data analytics. So I was joking with the people and I told them, so I'm an auditor for the folks that don't know. I'm probably only an auditor could be excited about getting into a data analytics program. Like I'm like literally excited about this next step or phase in my life. And the only frustrating thing is, and I've talked to you about this and I've shared with the listeners, is I'm actually not in control right now in this little window. So I'm doing all the things that I have influence over, but the decision to let me in is in somebody else's camp.
Yeah.
Like they control the dam, so to speak. And so they could either let me in or the door, whatever metaphor you want to use, or not. And it was, that's why I said, humbling and challenging to have someone say no.
Yeah.
And, you know, I took it personally for a while, but like I said, it was, I'm glad that I was able to reach out and have a conversation with the advisor, and I more clearly understand why I didn't get into that specific program that I was interested in. And it helped better shape my purpose and direction for this quote unquote 5-year plan. So kind of tying it all together is, I don't know that 5-year plans are relevant for millennials anymore. I actually had a person that I really admire tell me that, and they're very rich, that they only plan in 90-day increments. They're like, I would never bother with a 5-year plan because there's too much in this world. And it's somebody who owns their own business. So that's why I was kind of speaking to them about this. They're like, I don't plan that far ahead. Now, I might surround myself with people who plan that far ahead. My CPA might plan that far ahead. My financial advisor may plan that far ahead. Like he's thinking 20, 30 years. He's thinking about my retirement. But me, myself, on this successful business that I run and these millions that I have, I'm just worried about the next 90 days. And then I worry about the next 90 days after that. And then I worry about the 90 days after that.
Basically.
And what I've seen and why that really resonated with me, and I've come to appreciate in the entirety of my career now that I can kind of, I'm at a point where I can actually reflect back. You know, like I said, I'm the decade of experience guy now. It goes slow, but fast. Like it's insane to me that I'm already 10 years into my career in the same way that I still have 20 years left of my career to go. Yeah. But having gone through the first 10, I don't think about year one and I don't think about year three. I'm just at year 10. I'm like, I need to start setting myself up, even if I don't know what it looks like, to be successful in the next 5, in the next 10. So I don't need to have a 5-year plan. I just need to know that when that 5th year gets here, I'll be in a better, more successful place than I am in the first year.
Yeah, oh man, it is so... I was going to say real. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to go with that. I was like, I always say so real. It's so crazy. I'm going to try and say something different. And I ended up saying nothing at all and coming back to the same thing. But, you know, when I try these extended plans, and I've tried them plenty of times in the past, and I talked about doing all of these roadmaps and then not taking action. I mean, the other thing is so many variables change, and there's a lot of times when you have these plans, there are so many things that are out of your control that if certain things don't happen or something comes up, then that whole plan kind of goes to crap for lack of a better term. Now, of course, you know, you can pivot and you can make changes and you can have contingencies, which I think there's validity in that too, because it reminds me of, you know, you hear about people talking about diversifying your portfolio with investments. It could be the same thing with goals, you know, and so you mentioned You're looking at an executive leadership academy. You're looking at publishing a book. You know, there's grad school. And so when you have more options, more ways that you can go, if you have one particular thing that doesn't work out or one particular thing that becomes a failure, yes, there's going to be insights that come from that that are going to help you anyway. At least you have these other things going on to fall back on so that one failure or that one thing that doesn't go right doesn't seem like such a monumental thing.
Yeah, and we talked about this before, and it's definitely a principle that I want to share again, and it's helping me a lot now, is complementing goals versus competing goals. I think a lot of time, actually, I don't have to think, I know for a fact, I had a lot of competing goals. I'm like, I'm going to do this thing, and I'm going to do this completely opposite thing. So I got this thing on the left, and I got this thing pulling to the right, and then I make no progress in either because I'm not moving forward.
Right.
And so using this example, I wanted to go to the Leadership Academy because let's say I do end up working for this organization for the rest of my life. I want to look at what the hierarchy and what the road to success looks like. If I stay in this organization and I ultimately retire from this company, what do I need to be doing to be successful here? Boom. Let me look at this executive leadership program. Mm-hmm. Publish the book. That kind of goes to the entrepreneur side. I don't even really, and that's kind of what slowed me down because I like to have everything in place. I don't even really know what I'm going to do with the book. There's something here and I just need to put it out there. And it slowed me down because this. Yeah, it slowed me down because I'm like, I don't know what it looks like next. But one thing that I heard, I heard at one of these recent conferences was the harder you work, the luckier you become.
Yeah, and so true.
I've really fallen backwards, if we're being, you know, honest, into a lot of fortunate positions. And she was talking about, there was a lady talking about a company that she started. And she's like, you know, she was telling someone she worked at, oh, I'm so lucky. I always get so lucky. I'm always so fortunate. And they're like, well, the harder you work, the luckier you become. And I think that's what it is I unknowingly put all these things into place so that when it finally happens, it seems like luck, but it's probably where preparation and opportunity have collided. So
yeah.
I see that book, it could take off, it could go viral, it could flop, it could go aluminum. And I honestly, if I'm being real with the listeners, and I've shared this with some of my friends, that's probably held me up more than anything, is the fear or the idea that it might flop. Like I invested all this energy, I put 10 years into it, I got out of debt, yes, I did it. But then everybody's like, man, I read this book and it was it was a waste of my time. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. I am now dumber, and everyone who reads this book is also dumber as a result of this being on the internet. You know,
Kanye might read it and tweet about it.
Exactly. You know, like the internet crashes. You know, like this is the worst thing that has ever been published and put out in the public sphere. And I think that, and I hate to call it fear because I hate to admit that I fear anything, but I can't think of anything else. If I collected all the data, I can't think of anything else to call it but fear. And it's paralyzed that final delivery. So I've had to just get over that. And then the graduate school, I've actually already thinking ahead for one. I'm using this as a transition point, which I've talked about, to get into a different career, which my boss is fully aware of. And I think I'm over auditing for the rest of my life, you know, and right now I've come to realize, unless I make some substantial sacrifices in other areas, I'm just becoming further and further entrenched. And I think people can relate to that. Like you do a career so long and if you love it, great. But if you get to a point where you want to get out, everybody's like, why? You're so good at it. You've been doing it so long. All your job experience aligns there. Why don't you just keep doing it? Or we can pay you half of what you make right now and you can start over from the bottom. And it's like, I don't like any of those options. And so finding the compliments, I'm like, okay, I've got this executive leadership program going. The book might be an escape. It might be a parachute. It might be a long-term something that can evolve. And I've got some other thoughts that I'll talk about, but those are still goals. I've already had a business fail, which you're familiar with. Real Men Don't Gossip, for those who've really been around for a long time.
And that's a throwback. That's like years removed.
That failure will help me do a successful launch for this book. And I wasn't even thinking about writing a book when I launched that website. So it's crazy now how it's all coming together. And a good example of how life moves fast and slow at the same damn time is this graduate school decision, as you said, how it influences so much else. Like, I can't really make a next move until I figure out am I literally going to be in this graduate program? Because I might have to move. It's not actually in my city. There's a number of factors that it will influence. This has been the longest month of my life. Like, this month could not go any slower. I'm just waiting for this decision. I mean, it feels like a yes or no decision, but I'm just waiting for this decision so I can figure out at least the priorities or in timeline in which I need to do so many other things.
Yeah.
And it's, but, you know, when's the last time you're like, man, this month has gone slow? Months fly by. Like, I've already been back home 7 months. Like, that shocks people. I'm like, yeah, it's crazy when it all starts tying together because I'm like, okay, if I publish the book, you know, in July and I get the website up in August. And then you look at the other timeline as you were talking about. I'm like, man, I will be celebrating my year anniversary in October.
And I just celebrated 2 years. And I just like actually this past week was 2 years at my job out here in the Bay Area already.
Yeah. So the year is flying by and it's insane because I'm like, okay, let me think a couple months ahead so I can start planning this out, that 90 days. But this entire year, which doesn't even seem like I just got back home, is already about to pass. So it's weird how some timelines go slow, that being life, and while others are going fast. So this decision's going slow, but life is flying by. And one thing that I'll share, and I'll continue to share, and it's one thing that I'm doing now, because I'm thinking about doing like webinars and training on helping people get out of debt and prioritizing their budget. And then one thing I struggled with is I don't feel like I'm saying anything new, but these motivational speakers, these presentations, what they show me is sometimes you just need to hear it. Like,
yeah,
the plan, I promise y'all the plan is the easiest part. But I realize what I'll bring to the table is being a 20-something who did it while making $18,000 when I started. Like, that's a unique story that is specific to me and people can relate to. And working two or three jobs and struggling and living check to check, like, that's something people can relate to and they can tie to. And going back to tying the heart and the mind and the experience, that's what people can relate to. Like, the plan is probably 15 minutes of the entire presentation, but I'm going to talk about all the struggles and all the strifes and all the failures and all the starting over. And one thing...
That's the storytelling.
Another thing, I should say, I said one thing three times, is I've learned from this experience is planning ahead. But I think what I failed to do, I was so busy on trying to get out of debt. I spent a lot of time thinking about the past and like, how did I get here? And I need to, you know, figure out the future and then get out of debt immediately. And I need to put all these plans in place. But I feel like there was just a portion of life where I wasn't enjoying the present. Mm. So while I'm trying to do all these things and while I'm trying to put this trifecta in place, I've made it very like a conscious decision to take a step back every now and then and just be grateful for where I am, where I've come, and where I'm going. And that's an exercise that I just actively did not do passively or actively in the past. And that's something that I would share with folks is, yes, you know, appreciate you listening to the show. And I hope you get sound, you know, advice from us. And there's things that you can use and implement to change in your life. I definitely would ask that you share and write in and let us know things that you've done to share in your life that we can share with listeners, because I think people need to hear that.
Yeah, they do.
And really, one thing I'll kind of end with as far as this portion goes is, you know, yes, plan ahead 5 years, 90 days, however you do it. But I would really recommend folks also enjoy the present.
Yeah, you definitely got to do that. And I've been guilty of that myself. I don't know if I call it ambition syndrome or what to call it, where I'm so focused on getting ahead and I'm making progress, but not making progress as fast as I want or as fast as I may see other people making. Yeah, I know comparisons are Satan and all that other stuff. And I haven't enjoyed that moment. And I'm just getting to a place now where I'm starting to really enjoy the journey. And it's something that I've been thinking about more so over the past few weeks, where I'm like, you know what? Things may not be going as fast in all of the areas as I want, but there have been so many things that I've done so far, so much stuff that I've accomplished already, things that I'm getting the hang of now, and things that I failed on that I have the insights now that really there's no excuse for me not to be able to make this next move. And even taking solace in knowing that, like, you know, I've overcome related things in the past. I'm in a place now where I have some of the answers that other people may not have who are at the same part in this journey. It's just time to put it into action and make it happen. And being able to appreciate that, enjoy that, have a drink, whatever works for you. So Yeah, so that's it for this episode of Paychecks and Balances. So we want to thank you so much for listening, rocking with us, and to check out other episodes, you can go to paychecksandbalances.com. Of course, we're in iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Store, and all the other fun places where you probably snag your podcast feeds from. And if you've hit us up lately about career transitions, or you're like, what happened to the series you were doing? We're going to come back to that. You know, with all of the travel and everything else that's been going on over the past few weeks, we had to reshuffle a bit, but we're definitely going to be coming back to that topic. And there's some other stuff that I know we're going to be excited to announce down the road. But before we officially sign off, hashtag AOL, anything else from you, good sir?
I do not believe so.
Cool. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Looking forward to being back in the mix with a fresh episode next week. Until then, be safe. We out. Peace.